More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Camel.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team, welcome to the Freedom Hut Monday, September 26th edition of the program. We have Biden trying to convince everybody the economy is actually doing well. Nobody believes him. But then again, what's he going to say? I'm bad at my job. Plus, the DOJ under Merrick Garland sends in a bunch of FBI guys to arrest a pro-life activist for pushing somebody during a dispute a year ago. I'll explain all of the details of that. And then we also have Italy just elected its first ever female prime minister. Do you think the libs are excited about this shattering the ultimate glass ceiling in Italia? No. They are not. They are saying she is a fascist. They're very upset. They are losing their minds. No surprise. Because she's an anti-globalist nationalist who believes in God, family, and country, which apparently translates in Democrat corporate media in this country to fascism. Yes, that's what they say. We'll get into all of this, my friends, in a second. But, you know, I have been a real estate investor now for a few years. It all started with a meeting with my friends at Done For You Real Estate. They're amazing. Done For You Real Estate decided they wanted to help everyday folks become real estate investors because it's such a good way to build wealth. It's such a straightforward way to actually get some free cash flow for you every month. Here's how it works. Done For You will sit down with you, or they actually do this over Zoom these days, and they'll talk to you about where they think you should consider investing. You get to pick the city, the area of the country you're going to invest in. Then they put you in touch with a team on the ground that knows the market super well. Then they help you get that house all set up, buy the house, get the loan in place, get a management company to run everything for you, and get a tenant in place. And then you're just building up equity over time and getting that free cash flow every month. And you get to learn about real estate, too. I think that's one of the most fascinating parts about it. I bought my first house ever with Done For You Real Estate as an investor. So I really trust these guys. Go to doneforyoubuck.com to see how this works. Doneforyoubuck.com. Become a real estate investor. You don't need a lot of money to do this. They can start you out. You'll see. You just have to be qualified. They have some very basic questions they ask you, but it's a really smart way. You build up your portfolio over time. Doneforyoubuck.com is the website you should go to. All right, Biden put out a tweet where he said, when I came to office, the economy was flat on its back, millions out of work. So we act quickly. We passed the American Rescue Plan, which has lifted this nation from economic crisis to economic recovery, and every single Republican voted against it. This is a total rewrite of history. This is lunacy. All right. When he came into office, the Democrats in the blue states, the bluest states in particular, had shut down and acted like lunatics and were refusing to just reopen and go back to normal life. And he's going to compare the end of those artificial restrictions imposed on the economy with making good economic decisions. Here's what Biden really did when he came into office. Spent basically $2 trillion without a single Republican vote, as he points out himself. And now what is the biggest problem we have? Inflation. What is the single biggest challenge we're dealing with? Economically speaking, inflation. Well, when you spend trillions of dollars by just doling out cash to whomever, you can end up exacerbating. You make inflation much worse. It's a bad idea. And this notion that the Fed, by the way, that, oh, there's these geniuses at the Fed and they know what to do and they can handle everything. This is crazy. Okay. They have been a part of this whole process of these mistakes. Here is Professor Jeremy Siegel of the Wharton School of Business ripping Jerome Powell, the Fed, and now, oh, they're supposed to fix the problem. Where were they 2 years ago?
The Fed has just, you know, executed the last 2 years one of the biggest policy mistakes in the 110-year history of the Fed by staying so easy when everything was booming and pointing to, my God, inflation is going to be a terrible problem. And now, oh, yeah, we did goof badly there, which he never really admitted. And now we're saying, oh, my God, he's the God that's going to stop inflation, and he's going to crush the wages, which have fallen behind inflation by 3, 4, 5%. You can't have cost push inflation when you're lagging inflation. You can't blame wages for inflation when they're 2, 3, 4, 5% behind inflation.
If you think that the Fed is run by a bunch of geniuses who know exactly what they're doing, got some news for you, which I know none of you actually think that, but this is what the media wants us to believe. Oh, don't worry, the Fed is on it. Where has the Fed been all of this time? What have they been doing up to this point? Why didn't they raise rates sooner so that we wouldn't have to go through this crash therapy, if you will? Speaking of crashes, the S&P is down, the S&P 500 down 23% in 2022. On track for the worst year it has had since 2008. Look at this. First 2 years of Biden and the stock market's the crappiest it's been in 14 years. Oh, it's all a coincidence. It's all a coincidence, isn't it? It's not like you can be certain of this. If the stock market was doing well, Joe Biden would be touting it. Oh, my gosh. Oh, look at me. Here I am. I'm yelling. Not a joke. Stock market's amazing. I did the thing. Folks. It's about the stock market. He started creepy whispering all loud. Stock market. See? Your 401k is going up. Middle class, middle out, up, down, top down, all around. Hokey pokey. You know? It's what it's all about. Start yelling some crazy stuff about what a great stock market it is. You know that is true. But the stock market is crap. So instead, it's all, oh, we're in the economic recovery. We're not actually in an economic recovery. Biden's in recovery, his whole presidency, apparently, because he goes on vacation. He has been on vacation in Delaware 40% of his presidency. Now, given that he's 80, I get it. But let's just remind everybody that people were running around New York City. People were honking their horns and cheering and when Joe Biden was officially announced as the president, or, you know, the president-elect. They're, oh, my gosh, it's going to be amazing. Has it been amazing? Do any of the libs ever take a step back and say, whoa, hold on a second, this actually sucks? No, they won't. Have any of them said, wow, Buck, you were so right about Fauci. He's like the spawn of the devil. He's like the worst person ever. Nope, they do not say that, even though it's obviously true. And so here we are. An economy that sucks and people who don't want to be honest about it because they are their power is at stake. Speaking of not honest about it in power, there is a class of Republican. There's a class of Republican that they only exist now to trash other Republicans. They only exist so that they can, for the amusement of Democrats, constantly attack and undermine their own party. And they do this so that the people who watch CNN, the people who subscribe to the New York Times will clap for them. And they never seem to understand that we can see that they are doing everything they can to keep leftists in power and pretend that somehow that's the conservative principle at work. Conservatism, what are they conserving? The power of the left. But they think that this is, I mean, look, the whole thing is such a scam. But people's, if you remember, for a lot of these politicians, it's just all ego-driven. And they can really be driven to really a point of madness in their own narcissism. They can almost be sort of choked off from reality entirely by their own narcissistic tendencies, their own delusions of grandeur. Liz Cheney, who is soon to be the former member of Congress because she just got completely annihilated in her home state of Wyoming, which, you know, has a population that's, what, like the size of Jersey City, and she has a famous name from there, and her dad, you know, Dick Cheney's from there. Here she is, who's straight up saying that she doesn't want Carrie Lake, the governor of Arizona, or would-be governor of Arizona, I should say, doesn't want her to get elected and will help Democrats to beat Carrie Lake, which we'll hear from Carrie about this in a second.
I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that Carrie Lake is not elected.
So does that include campaigning for Democrats if that's what it takes?
Yes.
She will campaign for Democrats. She loves the Republican Party so much that she is willing to destroy it in order to save it. That's where we are. Friends, you've got to look at these people. This is contemptible. Whether it is Liz Cheney, the never Trumpers have now become the never Republicans, as in never Republican again. Liz Cheney, Evan McMullen, you know, going on the list, a lot of the pundits, you know, the Joe Scarboroughs, those, they're just mercenaries for a paycheck. It was never about principles, never about caring about anything other than, you know, how many Hamptons houses they can buy and all that kind of stuff. That's all that motivates so many of these pundits, especially the former Republican pundits you see on TV. Carrie Lake, though, was actually quite pleased that that Liz Cheney was coming after her because, you know, you can know a person by their enemies.
That might be the biggest, best gift I've ever received. I mean, the people of Wyoming can't stand her. I'm pretty much sure that the people of Arizona don't like Liz Cheney. You know, here's the deal, Maria. The Republican Party, the new Republican Party, is the party of we the people. It is no longer the party of warmongers. And so Liz Cheney probably should change her voter registration. Turns out she really is a Democrat after all.
She is a Democrat after all. Because it was really always about Liz Cheney. It was really always about what was best for her. Now, there's a story I want to tell you about that should get a lot more attention than it does, or than it has up to this point. It has to do with an FBI raid in Pennsylvania that occurred over just over the weekend. FBI arrest, to be fair. A well-known pro-life author and activist, Mark Houck, he is the founder and president of the King's Men. He had the FBI show up at his home early in the morning. There were reportedly 20 FBI agents there for this guy. They handcuffed him. They put a belly chain to attach to the handcuffs, you know, because he's such a danger to the agents and to the public. They had the DOJ, Merrick Garland's DOJ, went after him. And this is where, of course, I tell you why. Because he pushed somebody a year ago. That is actually what happened. He pushed a 72-year-old man. Now you might be saying, well, Buck, was the guy really injured? And you might also be saying, wouldn't that also be a crime under state law, under assault? It wouldn't be an FBI matter. Oh, but you see, first of all, he wasn't in any meaningful way, any serious way, injured. He was just pushed. But it's a violation of the Abortion Access Act, which goes to the special rights that are created around the literal physical ingress and egress from abortion clinics under federal law. But remember, it was a constitutional right to an abortion. And so the individual is not identified in the documents, but he pushed a guy. There was apparently Mark Houck had a verbal altercation because he had been showing up in this, and this pro-abortion, he wears the pro-abortion person was wearing some kind of a reflective vest to show he's an abortion escort. So he is there to push the people to take the slaughterhouse of a Planned Parenthood clinic. He is taking the women to have their babies go through an abortion there to make sure that they feel good about those last steps before they're going into an abortion clinic. And this guy, Mark Houck, was there to say, look, please don't do this. Have the baby. You don't want to do this. You're going to regret this. And they exchange words. and the abortion access guide or whatever, escort, said something, allegedly cursed at Mark Houck's young child, who was also with him, and there was a shove. There was a verbal altercation and a shove. That was a year ago. This already went into court. Nothing came of it. There was no injury. Nobody cared, right? Not a big deal at the end of the day. I mean, as things go, we've got whole stores being looted by mobs. We've got people being assaulted and murdered and bludgeoned and carjackings way up. And all the crime we see, all the crime waves all across the country. We have much more important things to be worried about than a shove outside of an abortion clinic that didn't really result in much of anything, right? Wrong. Not according to Merrick Garland's DOJ, not according to the Democrat apparatus. The FBI followed up on this one. And now for a shove under the FACE Act, you could see Mark Houck face up to 11 years in federal prison over this. So I just want to be clear about what the abortion regime, put aside the horrific immorality of killing babies in this way for a second, because obviously that's central to all this. But there was also this whole regime around abortion where there were all these special, you know, you can't stand in the middle of the pathway to a Planned Parenthood. You can't obstruct in any way the access, because this is a constitutional right. So they created, almost like at a polling place, all of these special protections for abortion. And there were all these fights around it, all these special protections for abortion clinics, because, you know, God forbid somebody actually stands there and says, you really don't want to do this. You actually want to have that child. God, you know, the Democrats get super upset about that. So there are these laws that create these federal, but these aren't federal matters, federal penalties around this to create these special protections for abortion. By the way, all these laws should be repealed. All these laws should be challenged. All these laws should be repealed because it isn't a constitutional right. So there should be no difference in the egress and ingress to a Planned Parenthood than there is the, you know, ingress and egress to a library. Shouldn't be any special protections here for what? The First Amendment, you could say a library, you know, there's no constitutional right to an abortion anymore. Sorry, libs. This is something they have to start to get used to. But the Merrick Garland DOJ, one, wants to talk about abortion as much as possible to help out Democrats. They think this is going to deliver some important political victories to them. I'm much less convinced than a lot of other people. I think that the Democrat apparatus wants people to believe that, first of all, that there are no pro-lifers are going to turn out on this issue. And also they want people to believe that somehow this is more important than whether people can put food on the table, whether people have jobs, have a future in this country that they're proud of, feel safe on the streets, have any sense of secure borders. All of that is supposed to be very secondary to, you know, the woman's right to access an abortion, according to the media. I don't believe them. I think they are engaging in propaganda under the guise of polling and telling you just what sentiment actually is. They're trying to create sentiment. They're not reporting on sentiment when it comes to abortion. But they certainly want to focus in on this issue right now. And this, I will point this out to you, because the double standards in law, if you want to talk about where you could see real threats to our democracy and where things can all fall apart, double standards in law are the most troubling thing for anybody who believes that we have a system worth preserving. Because the moment that you have one side that ignores laws they don't like and uses laws as a weapon for political purposes, the whole thing can fall apart. The whole country can really honestly start to fall apart. We have federal law in this country around immigration effectively ignored by the Democrat Party. They don't care. And say, oh, but they're claiming asylum. Well, they come to the country illegally, and then they claim asylum, and then they don't show up at the hearings, and then they're not deported. That's what ends up happening. So they're supposed to be, at the end of that whole claiming asylum, they're supposed to be deported. Totally, that part of it is never, not a priority, they say. I mean, you can do this with any law, right? Oh, you see that bank robber just ran off with all this money. You're going to go get him, right? It's not a priority. End of law, right? All of a sudden doesn't count. They do that with immigration. Okay. But maybe a more clear comparison would be from what you could see with the Supreme Court justices and the threat to those justices from lunatics standing outside of their homes, threatening them. There was one person who showed up, said that he wanted to actually kill one of the justices, so a would-be assassin. There is federal law that you cannot intimidate members of the judiciary. You cannot intimidate prosecutors. You're not allowed to say, you know, think about it this way. Could you walk up to a federal prosecutor who, let's say, was going to you know, put one of your friends behind bars for 20 years for fraud. Could you show up at his home and be like, yeah, nice house you got here. It'd be a shame if something happened to your kids. Just saying. No. You should go to prison, right? You can't actually do that. You can't actually threaten a member of the judiciary or of the prosecutorial arm of the federal government to bring about a certain outcome. So why is it okay for a mob of lunatics to be on the front lawn? I'm not talking about the Supreme Court. They have a right to protest. Fine. To be on the front lawn of a Supreme Court justice saying, we know where you live. We know where your kids go to school. There was a law against that. Did Merrick Garland enforce that law? No, he did not. Why? Because abortion's really important to libs, and they don't care. End of story. That's what happened there. So they ignore that law. A guy shoves a guy who's an abortion. First of all, as a guy, what kind of a psychopath do you have to be the guy that shows up with a reflective vest to escort women to make sure they're aborting as many babies as possible? I mean, honestly, I know people do this, but it's really appalling. But the guy gets shoved. He didn't fall back and crack his skull open or something. The guy just got a shove. He got up. You know, that's the end of it. And you could argue about whether or not there was some kind of a verbal altercation that made him think that his son was in jeopardy. Anyway, point is, not a big deal, right? Oh, but the FBI showed up to arrest him a year later after state and local court had already dealt with it and there was nothing from it. Two-tiered justice system, friends. That's what you have to remember. Now, the election in Italy, very interesting situation here. Giorgia Meloni is now the prime minister of Italy. And this is one of those times where you know that there's something good happening because all of the worst people in the world, certainly in the media and everywhere else, absolutely hate this woman. So that's a really good sign. I can't pretend to sit here like, oh, I follow Italian politics so closely. Really? Do I also follow Polish and Bolivian and Thai politics so closely? No, of course not. It's just not possible. Every country has their own. But there are some broader narratives that certainly are applicable here. There are some other things to take into consideration that I think you can see strong parallels with what we have going on in our own country and our own society. But first, I'll just tell you this. AP had this one. How a party of neo-fascist roots won big in Italy. Wow. Okay. The number of people that referred to her and her party, Brothers of Italy, as neo-fascist and in the mold of Mussolini, she has explicitly said they are not fascist. They do not subscribe to fascist ideology. And their slogan is God, family, country, which in Democrats in this country, the Democrat lingo is fascism, apparently. God, family, country. Whoa, that person sounds scary. It's like people that talk about being a patriot. Whoa, don't talk about being a patriot. Not allowed. So they are doing everything they can to make it so that you just what they are hoping, what the New York Times, the Washington Post is hoping is that anybody who's paying attention to foreign elections in this country goes, oh, well, I don't want people to think poorly of me. So they told me she's a fascist. You don't even look into a fascist, right? She's essentially a neo-Nazi is what they're really saying. Some of them say that more explicitly than others. But if someone's a neo-Nazi, they're untouchable. You can't go near them. You can't deal with them. They're out of... Well, but hold on a second. Is she any of those things? Oh, no, she's not, actually. What does she want? She wants an end to the illegal immigration. That sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Illegal immigration, that is a huge problem for Italy. And you have illegal migrants who come over on boats from Africa predominantly. And there's all kinds of challenges. I mean, look what we saw in Martha's Vineyard. You had 50 illegals there. Martha's Vineyard was at DEFCON 1 all of a sudden. We're so happy they're here. Get out of here. We're so happy they're here. Get them on the buses. You see this in Italy with the leftist, labor, socialist parties, of course. They're all about, oh, you know, there'll be workers and this will be great. Well, there's actually social challenges, economic challenges that come from bringing people that don't speak Italian. Start with that. I know we're always supposed to assume, oh, language barrier is nothing. It's actually pretty challenging. Don't speak Italian. Don't necessarily share any of the cultural underpinnings of that society and haven't gone through the legal migration process to show a willingness and an interest in any of that. So she wants to stop that. That makes her a bad person. She wants to elevate God and family in public life. And that makes her a bad person because she also goes after the corporatists and the globalists. And what we have seen in the era of COVID more than any other time I can think of is what it looks like when you do have globalist corporatists in charge. What is the situation you are dealing with? You'll do what they tell you to do. You'll eat what they tell you to eat. You'll go where they tell you to go. You will shut down your business. You will take shots you don't want to take. You will cover your face. You will not breathe freely. All of it, by the way, pointless, a scam, the whole thing. Made us all poorer, debased our currency, didn't save any of us from COVID, didn't save us from infection. That was all a lie. You sit here and go, okay, so that's what it's like when the smartest and the global elites and the Davos set and, you know, Google mixed with the EU and, you know, the bureaucrats there. And all of a sudden, look at this. That's who's calling the shots. And Fauci and the, you know, international health authorities. Total disaster. She was opposed to the lockdown. She was opposed to the extreme policies. So she was right. Does it matter? No, of course not. Why? Because she's a threat to the established order that the elites rely on for not just their power, but their prestige and their money. These things all go together. So I think she's going to be a fascinating political character to watch. Italy is all set up. It's a sclerotic bureaucracy, and it's not, you know, it's not efficient. It's going to be like when anyone in California tries to take on the public sector unions. Good luck. It's, you know, running your hand across a buzzsaw. It's not going to be fun. But she's going to try. And there are other places in Europe that realize they have to try as well. So be fascinating to watch it. God, family, country. Republicans might want to learn a thing about this, too. Speak the truths that people know, even when society says you're not allowed to. It's a good rule. Talk to you all tomorrow. Shields high.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Camel.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.